జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ, రాధా మాధవ కుంజ విహారీ, గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివరద హారీ, గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివరద హారీ, యశోదానందన వ్రజ జన రంజన, యశోదానందన గోపీ జన రంజన, యమునా తీర వనచారీ, యమునా తీర వనచారీ, ఓం అజ్ఞాన స్మరాన్ధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాఖాయ చక్షుర్ఉన్మీలి సంగేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద, శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరి హరయే నమః, కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః, గోపాల గోవింద రామ శ్రీ మధుసూదన, హరి హరయే నమః, గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ, రాధా రమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ, రాధా రమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ, జయ రాధే జయ కృష్ణ జయ వృందావన, శ్రీ గోవింద గోపీనాథ మదన మోహన, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
ఓం నమః భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటో 5 ది క్రియేటివ్ ఇంపెటస్ చాప్టర్ 14 ది మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ యాజ్ ది గ్రేట్ ఫారెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ Part 1. Shukadeva Goswami's version of the material world as the great forest of enjoyment. King Parikshit then told Shukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, O great devotee sage, you are omniscient. You have very nicely described the position of the conditioned soul who is compared to a merchant in the forest. From these instructions, intelligent men can understand that the senses of a person in the bodily conception are like rogues and thieves in that forest, and one's wife and children are like jackals and other ferocious animals. However, it is not very easy for the unintelligent to understand the purport of the story, because it is difficult to extract the exact meaning from the allegory. I therefore request your holiness to give the direct meaning." When King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Shukadeva replied as follows, "My dear king, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth, and then sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, the conditioned soul enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of Daivi Maya, Krishna's external energy. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, one does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, one gets different types of bodies, one after the other, under the influence of material energy and impelled by the modes of material nature, namely sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamo guna. In this way, the conditioned soul sometimes goes to the heavenly planets, sometimes goes to the earthly planets, and sometimes goes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus, one suffers continuously due to different types of material bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. All these bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. One uses his or her mind and five senses in order to acquire knowledge, and these bring about different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. Actually, one is searching for relief, but one is generally baffled, although sometimes one is relieved, but only after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, one cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. In the forest of material existence, the uncontrolled senses are like plunderers. The conditioned soul may earn some money for the advancement of Krishna consciousness, but unfortunately, the uncontrolled senses plunder one's money through sense gratification. The senses are plunderers because they make one spend his or her money unnecessarily for seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, desiring, and willing. In this way, the conditioned soul is obliged to gratify his or her senses, and thus all of one's money is spent. This money is actually acquired for the execution of religious principles, but it is taken away by the plundering senses. My dear King Parikshit, family members in this material world go under the names of wife and children, but actually they behave like tigers and jackals. Just as a herdsman tries to protect his sheep to the best of his ability, but the tigers and foxes take them away by force. Similarly, although a miserly man wants to guard his money very carefully, his family members take away all of his assets forcibly, even though he is very vigilant. Every year, the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds still lie there and, not being completely burned, again come up with the plants sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds still come up densely. Similarly, the Grihastha Ashram, or family life, is a field of fruitive activity. So unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burned out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless still retains the aroma of camphor. So as long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruitive activities are not destroyed. Sometimes the conditioned soul in householder life, being attached to material wealth and possessions, is disturbed by gadflies and mosquitoes, and sometimes locusts, birds of prey, and rats give one trouble. Nonetheless, the conditioned soul in householder life still wanders down the path of material existence. And due to ignorance, one becomes lusty and engages in fruitive activity. Because one's mind is absorbed in these activities, one sees the material world as permanent, although it is temporary, like a phantasmagoria or a house in the sky. Sometimes in this Gandharvapura or house in the sky, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Being overly attached, one chases after the objects of the senses, just as the deer chases a mirage in the desert. Sometimes the living entity is interested in the yellow stool known as gold and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and gold can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat-eating, and intoxication. And those whose minds are overcome by the mode of passion are attracted by the color of gold, just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after some kind of phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Sometimes the conditioned soul is absorbed in finding residential quarters or apartments and getting a supply of water and riches to maintain the body. Absorbed in acquiring a variety of necessities, one forgets everything and perpetually runs around the forest of material existence. Sometimes, as if blinded by the dust of a whirlwind, the conditioned soul sees the beauty of the opposite sex, which is called pramada. Being thus bewildered, he is raised upon the lap of a woman, and at that time his good senses are overcome by the force of passion. He thus becomes almost blind with lusty desire and disobeys the rules and regulations governing sex life. One does not know that one's disobedience is being witnessed by different demigods, and so he tries to enjoy illicit sex in the dead of night, not seeing the future punishment which is awaiting one. Sometimes the conditioned soul personally appreciates the futility of sense enjoyment in the material world, and one sometimes considers material enjoyment to be simply full of miseries. However, due to one's strong bodily conception, one's memory is destroyed, and again runs after material enjoyment, just as an animal runs after a mirage in the desert. Sometimes the conditioned soul is very aggrieved by the chastisement of one's enemies or government servants, who use harsh words against one, directly or indirectly. And at that time, one's heart and ears become very saddened. Such chastisement may be compared to the sounds of owls and crickets. Due to one's pious activities in previous lives, the conditioned soul attains material facilities in this life. But when they are finished, one takes shelter of wealth and riches, which cannot help one in this life or the next. And because of this, one approaches the living dead who possess these things. Such people are compared to impure trees, creepers, and poisonous wells. Sometimes, to mitigate distress in this forest of the material world, the conditioned soul receives cheap blessings from atheists. One then loses all intelligence in their association. This is exactly like jumping into a shallow river. As a result, one simply breaks one's head. One is not able to mitigate one's suffering from the heat, and so in both ways one suffers. The misguided conditioned soul also approaches so-called sadhus and swamis who preach against the principles of the Vedas. One does not receive benefit from them either in the present or in the future. In this material world, when the conditioned soul cannot arrange for one's own maintenance despite exploiting others, then one tries to exploit one's own father or son, taking away their possessions, although they may be very insignificant. And if one cannot acquire these things from one's father, son, or other relatives, one is prepared to give them all kinds of trouble. In this world, family life is exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. There is not the least happiness, and gradually one becomes more and more implicated in unhappiness. In householder life, there is nothing favorable for perpetual happiness. Being implicated in home life, the conditioned soul is burned by the fire of lamentation. Sometimes one condemns oneself as being very unfortunate. And sometimes one claims that one suffers because one performed no pious activities in one's previous life. Government men are always like carnivorous demons called rakshasas or man-eaters. Sometimes these government men turn against the conditioned soul and take away all of one's accumulated wealth. Being bereft of the reserved wealth of one's life, the conditioned soul loses all enthusiasm. Indeed, it is as though one loses one's very life. Sometimes the conditioned soul imagines that one's father or grandfather has again come in the form of one's son or grandson. In this way, one feels the happiness one sometimes feels in a dream, and the conditioned soul sometimes takes pleasure in such mental concoctions. In householder life, one is ordered to execute many yajñas and fruitive activities, especially the vivaha yajña, the marriage ceremony for sons and daughters, as well as the sacred thread ceremony. These are all the duties of a grihastha, and they are very extensive and troublesome to execute. They are compared to a big hill over which one must cross when one is attached to material activities. A person desiring to cross over these ritualistic ceremonies certainly feels pains like the piercing of thorns and pebbles endured by one attempting to climb a hill. Thus, the conditioned soul suffers unlimitedly. Sometimes, due to bodily hunger and thirst, the conditioned soul becomes so disturbed that one loses one's patience and becomes angry with one's beloved sons, daughters, and wife. Thus, being unkind to them, one suffers all the more. Recorded June 18, 2024 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Not knowing what was right. come to take us all the way back home, away from this world of birth and death, to the spiritual sky at our final breath. There's nothing to lose but everything.